of this workshop is the sixth and seventh step. And Bill has been asked to speak, and I'll turn it over to Bill. Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name is Bill. And it's good to see so many people here at a six and seven step meeting. Usually it's like the juicy topics that get a big crowd at, like the relationship's over, now what? You know, saying yes when I mean no. Then we can all identify with that so much. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to come down here and speak on steps six and seven. It's always an honor to be asked to talk to the members on a step. And I like to believe it's because I have some experience and work and knowledge of that step, and that maybe I could help somebody who's looking to get experience and knowledge on the steps that I'm going to share on tonight, because that's how I got it. It was passed on to me through my sponsor and other people at step meetings. And giving it away, you know, solidifies it in me. I just want to take a quick walk through one, through six, one through five, and it'll be just a quick walk through. I have a sponsor who suggested anytime I chair a third step meeting that I need to talk about one and two first. And I don't get asked to chair many 12th step meetings, because I go from 1 to 11, and it's like, by the time we get there, it's over. But no, I'll quickly walk through, just very quickly, and highlight some things that brought me to the sixth step and opened the door. And in the first step, what I found out is that I'm powerless over addiction, not drugs. See, that was a big, big deal for me. Because for so long, if I could just stop shooting dope, it was always that, if I could just keep that spike out of me. And so when I got to the first step, I realized that addiction, through the information in the first step, that addiction was more than physical, that it was mental and spiritual. And that was an awakening. That was new information for me. I thought when I come out of jail, gained some weight, got the abscesses healed up, I was okay. And that was the lie that sent me right back again, because I kept it a threefold disease. I tried to fight it in one area, and I always lost. So when I got to the first step of Narcotics Anonymous, I was informed what I suffered from. It was like going to a doctor and he laid out the prognosis. This is what the problem is. The first step didn't give me any solutions, none, but it certainly gave me the dilemma. And the dilemma was that I have to admit powerlessness. I have to make that admission, and I have to make that admission on a level of surrender, where there is no more, next time I'll do it different, I'll only use so much, I'll change drugs. See, it had to be an admission that came from experiences of pain, experiences of failure, experiences of trying to exert power over an addiction of which I'm powerless over. So it had to be an admission that basically I was beaten, and the willingness began to come. The willingness to move straight on to step two. Because I didn't want to remain powerless long, consciously. I remained powerless for a lot of years unconsciously. And all the failures, so when I was conscious that this is the real problem here, I'm powerless over my addiction. It's not the bag on the corner that I'm powerless over. It's not the dope fiend walking by me with his eyes pinned that I'm powerless over that sends me back. It's right here. And in a healthy body or a sick body, it remains there. So this has to be dealt with in my thinking. When they said it was a disease of the thinking and the feelings, I could not relate. It was a disease of the physical abscesses and hopelessness and just degradation that I felt. What do you mean thinking and feelings? What could you possibly be talking about? I just wanted to stop hurting. That's all I wanted to do when I got here, just help me stop hurting. And using wasn't relieving my hurting anymore. So come here to find out and get introduced to the first step. Make your admission, boy. Make your admission. You make it. A lot of people could have made that powerlessness admission for me long ago when I asked them to hold money I was using with and came back almost tearing their brains out to get that little $40 and them not giving it to me because I told them not to. And then seeing me go through the insane crazies, they say, "Yo, man, what's wrong with you?" But see, I didn't know what was wrong with me until I was introduced to the first step of Narcotics Anonymous. And our program, thank God, doesn't center on a single substance. It talks about a disease. And so the prognosis was laid out. Billy, you are powerless over your addiction. Make that admission. The first thing Narcotics asked me to do, Narcotics Anonymous asked me an introduction to the steps, is to admit something. Something I never did. I was not comfortable admitting shit. I didn't admit nothing. If the police caught me with the spike in my arm and had videotape, I would swear in court. That ain't me. Admit shit. I don't admit nothing. If somebody caught me with coming out of a store, bagged all my shit, and I ain't got nothing, I mean, I would never admit, did not matter. I was not a person who admitted anything. I was always somebody who lived in an illusion. And so the first thing Narcotics Anonymous does with me in the first step is cuts me right to the gut and said, admit it. Come in here and you admit it. You make that, because if you ain't going to admit it, you're going to be back out there trying again. Are you done or not? You think you got another successful run in you? Cash it in. Go. Because in here, this program works when we surrender. And it talks about it in there that you know, when we were beaten, we became willing. And God knows I came in here beat, whipped thoroughly. I'm not talking about the thorough whipping down the missions on Central Avenue where I lived and the Salvation Army. I'm talking about the inside void, that I was so empty inside that I couldn't care if you had a kilo and sat it in front of me. It was like, what was it going to do for me? It wasn't working anymore. It wasn't going to give me what I knew I hadn't have anymore. Hope. I had no hope. So I made that admission. And they said, surrender means we don't have to fight anymore. And I'll tell you what, when I surrendered, and I surrendered this morning, but when I surrendered in 1990, it was not a big fight for me. I'm here to tell you, I did not run around just wanting, it was like a peace, man. It was like, whew, that you don't have to fight anymore. Just don't have to fight anymore. I knew what the end was. I knew I was going to get whipped again. And that knowledge and that admission and that surrender, coupled up with hanging with some people that had a little joy, just helped me walk through these first 30 days, 60 days. But I didn't remain powerless long. I went right to step two for a power greater. Because me admitting my powerlessness in step one did nothing for me in the solution sense. I'm powerless. I'm powerless. I'm powerless. I'm powerless. So I'll run around talking about I'm powerless. I could use powerless. You see what I'm saying? So what I need right away is to go straight to a power greater. Immediately, just right after I make that surrender and that admission of powerlessness, and I need to jump right in to find, well, if I'm powerless, where am I going to find the power? Okay, and I plug right into the second step, and the power was what you see around you. That was the power. I didn't talk God in this step. The step itself said a power greater, not a higher power. Didn't take me there yet. Only mentions it one time in the step. It talked about a power greater, and this was a power greater. At my first meeting, I'm going to tell you what, when there were seven people, I was shocked that many people were hurting like I hurt and wanted to stop using. Seven. Because I thought I was the only one that was suffering the way I was suffering under that mask. And y'all wasn't masked up, the ones on the street. That I was the only one that was lying so much with hurting inside. But when, you know, Harold seen me, and it's like he had it going on and put that facade on, he had it going on, that I'm like, damn, I wish I could be like him. Because inside I was hurting. And then if he said, how you doing? All right. I'm doing all right. I'm doing fine. I would mask up all over the place. I had a box of masks I carried around with me. And so the disease just kept hiding behind them, but I needed a power greater. And the power greater was the people I seen in the rooms. It was the meetings, the literature, the reading the basic text, because I eat the basic text, and I say in present tense, eat it, read it regular still. But at the time when I first come in, a power greater for me was just getting that book open and reading it and reading it and reading it, not even understanding. You know how when you ever go to your sponsor, some say, well, I'm just reading, I don't know what this shit, you know. And he just said, well, keep reading it. Yeah, it'll come in. Just put it in. Just put it in. But it don't make sense. I mean, I don't even remember enough. You could ask me 2 days later and I don't remember what I said. They said, don't matter. Just keep doing that. Change the tapes. Change the tapes. Just keep reading it and putting it in. And so that was my power greater. We talk about the insanity and what insanity means and all. And in the second step, where it talks about to be restored to sanity. I needed a restoration. I need to be restored because it wasn't insane for me to just to leave a meeting and go to a store and steal something. To me, that was not insane at all. That was getting over. Made perfect sense. You know, just made real good sense. Today, to me, it's like, that's ridiculous for me to go in the Inner Harbor and try to steal something today. Because why? Because I ain't willing to go to city jail today. And that, not so I'm so spiritual or anything that I don't look and might want to get something for nothing now. It's just that I ain't trying to take that ride over city jail while y'all is having fun tonight. I ain't trying to do that today. So don't get me wrong on this other side of where I'm so spiritual today that I'm beyond some things. It ain't that I'm beyond some things. It's that I'm learning about insanity for me is repeating the same mistakes and expecting different results. Like they said, well, I don't expect them. I sort of know they're going to be the same. And then they say it's really sick when you do it anyway. You know, that's the double dose of insanity. When you know it's going to hurt your ass, and you still do it. It's like somebody said, we like pain when we get here. I liked it. There was a certain distorted security, like the basic text talks about, in that familiar pain. And somehow I did. I can relate to that, liking pain. You know, if I wasn't, you know, like spanked or... Sometimes I just, I got burnt so much, I got like getting burnt. You know, it's like, when I got real shit, they took me to the ambulance on an overdose, right? I'm like, man, sometimes I just like pain. I just like it, you know, and there's a distorted security in that. That's why I like today when somebody, it's so hard for somebody to tell you how good you are, how nice it is. You want to minimize that shit, man. Bill, you're looking good. Thanks for this. And like, that ain't me. See, here's the real me is this rotten, filthy that you don't know. And so I'm just trying to, you know, accept today that, you know, I can feel good about myself, you know, today. And so when the second step had one word in there, and I'm going to move right on to was could. Please don't miss that word in the second step. You know, it's like that we could be restored to sanity. And I've known some people been here a number of years. And they ain't got nothing I want. I'm sad. It's sad because I got 6 years in this program in a couple months. And I've always had problems with people who hear me talking like they don't like that. It's like, I'm an addict too. This ain't just about the nuclear. And it ain't. I agree. But the truth of the matter is you create your own motherfucking problem, brother. I don't give a shit if you got 2 days or 20 years. It ain't about, you know, I'm an addict. That's a nice one. That's a nice one to use. My wife used to use that on me before she went to jail. Well, I'm an addict. The shit she be doing around the house. You know, I'm an addict. Now, come on now, wait a minute. It wasn't meant for that. You justifying the shit that you're doing by I'm an addict. Addicts, you know, addicts do shit like that. And like, come on now. So it was could be restored to sanity. And the idea is that I've been restored to sanity that I don't stick needles in my neck no more. But on a daily basis, if I'm running up and down the street tricking, don't you dare talk about that, Billy. That's another thing you're going to have a lot of problems. People are going to say, he must be talking about me. I ain't trying to make no enemies. I'm talking of the truth about obsession. And I'm talking about insanity can rage right there clean. It can rage like a son of a bitch. You can be so obsessed chasing that, what they say, thinking and feelings, chasing that feeling. And ain't had a drug in you for I don't know how long. And then come in the means talking about my life sucks. I'm miserable. I don't know why the fuck my life sucks. And the truth of the matter is I get what I get because I do what I do. It's that fucking simple with 2 days or 20 years. I create my own problems. And I know all those truths in the second step, know them all about. That talks about ongoing recovery begins right there, ongoing. And if I want to achieve ongoing recovery, what's recovery? An active change. If I want to stay clean, I stay clean. Anybody knows there's a meeting here about clean time versus recovery? Why do they have that meeting? Why would they even have it at a convention if there wasn't a difference? Why? I've been clean to penitentiary, miserable and sick. I know what clean is. Today, I'm trying to work through these 12 steps to find out what recovery is. What is recovery? And it's a sense of okayness about who Billy is. The word could. I could be restored to sanity. He sent me a goddamn credit card application. A bum like me living in the Salvation Army. Couldn't get a goddamn shorts anywhere. And couldn't go 3 cent light on a package bought from Ames. Had to get every penny of it. Now all of a sudden people sending me applications or pre-approved credit. Insanity. Now all of a sudden I want to take that plastic and chase what? A feeling. I don't know about you, but a new pair of tennis shoes give me a good feeling. See, they talk about feelings. I like gold sometime, wearing and hanging. And I got this card, so I'm like, it would be insane for me, knowing I can't pay the damn thing at the end of the month, to be running out there doing all that. Then if I do it, I come in here crying, talking about life sucks. Because all the bills done came now, see? And I won't tell you, I ain't been restored to sanity there. Why? I could have been. See, I could have been restored in relationships, in finances, in how I feel about myself. I can be restored as could if I do some things different. It's the big if I do some things different. I can't take no shit to my sponsor and get validated from it. He won't allow it. First thing we're going to do is look at you. Let's find out what you're doing here and why you're doing it, because you're creating it. And I wasn't powerless over them cards. I could cut them up. See what I'm saying? And then come into the means and be just looking to what? Give. And not take. Not shoplift in here. So I could be restored to sanity. But it's all a matter of choice. Be insane for me to keep practicing the same mistakes and expecting different results. Be insane for me to do that. And when I tell about the lesson, I want to tell about the blessing. I just don't want to talk about the part that, you know, like I created. Or I want to get honest and talk about the shit I created. You know, sometime in the meeting, sometime, I don't know if anybody here, but sometimes I get to this thing in my head like, why don't that motherfucker just shut up? You ever get that in the meeting where they're just crying? And you look in here, we know rationalization, justification, denial. We know that intuitively. And if I'm standing here talking about she this and she that and she this, and if it wasn't for that, y'all ain't gonna let me do that long before you love me enough to say, wait a minute, the hell are you doing? You powerless over that. You need to take a look at what they say in order to get. You got to put yourself in that position. Get out of position, Billy. Get your ass out of the position and you'll be all right. So I know that if I do something different, I can be restored. I looked at the third step very quickly and I did not find that I was showing up for God's will. How confusing sometimes I hear that being expressed when it says, my will, mine, and my life turned over to His care. Now, see, I'm to the third step, and I'm saying, okay, God, what's your will for me? What's your will? I'm looking for your will already. It's third step time. What's your will? Has nothing to do with God's will. It has me. Get your stinking ass will out of the way. You showing up talking about, now I'm clean for 95 days, God. I know it's your will for me to help that girl at the coffee pot. This is God's will for me. God say, go to four and look at your ass. Tell somebody what you found in five, six and seven. Clean up. Eight and nine. Go back out and straighten some stuff out. 10. maintain the things that you've developed in the first 9 and 11. Knowledge of your will, God. 11, not 3. Knowledge of your will. Because now I've cleaned house. I've looked at me. I've looked in the mirror. I've seen that ugliness in me that couldn't go to the coffee pot with a motive that I'm going to hopefully have in 11. That I don't have in 3. I don't have that motive because I haven't looked at defects and shortcomings in 6 and 7. I'm showing up asking to serve and I ain't even a trusted servant. Tall Matt, I'm ready to go. Third step. I ain't ready to go nowhere but through the next 9 is where I'm ready to go. And I don't want to like minimize anybody's differences of opinion on that. I just need to know that when I got there and was always looking for God's will, it hit me like a ton of bricks when somebody said, "What do you mean God's will? Read it. It's your will, your wants, your life, your needs turned over to the care of God. Get out of the way. Get out of the way for once. Not Billy's will no more, but turn it over to the care of God." And all God told me was move on to fourth step. Move on. I don't need you yet. Tell Matt, you want to help somebody, you go in their house to help them, and as soon as they go to bed from you, stealing their rings. Tell Matt, you want to show, "What's your will, God? What's your will?" And I ain't even looked at, I'm a thief. I ain't even got honest with people to say I'm a thief. I'm still into, "You can trust me." I'm still there. I'm still in denial that it's as bad as a bad. Well, I'm clean. You can trust me. Be clean long enough around you and take a look at yourself and you'll find out a little bit about that recovery is the painful road to travel. Clean time, I can sit and get clean. Guess how simple it is not to stay clean. Just don't pick up. That's it. Over, done. If I never pick up, I'm always clean. Always. I know a lot of guys still in the penitentiary when I was there, clean as can be. I won't want them living next door to me when they get out. I just don't. Now, sorry, Mo and Charlie, Skippy. I mean, it's like no judgment, but I know the difference. And, you know, me leaving the house and telling you, "Well, watch the door, all right?" I can ask a recovering person to do that and go away with a little peace in my mind. Some of them. Karen will like that. So all I did was basically get out of the way. That's why when the third step said that I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, when I went to court 3 times, the judge became what? A trusted servant. He was no longer out to get me. It was not about, "There he is." It was, if I turned it over to the care of God, then whatever I get, I'm going to be met at the level of my need. That's the kind of trust that I drew out of the third step. That now it's in God's care. Not that I'm this servant already and I want to ready to start dealing and knowing how to manipulate things around here and talk to people and do service work. Now I know all that. That's what you want, ain't it, God? I'll do all that. You can't be trusted yet, Billy. Just sit still. You can't be trusted yet. You got some house cleaning to do. And so when the judge becomes a trusted servant, I go in with confidence. I go in with whatever comes this way. Whatever comes this way to me,